Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry, the Bahamas and USA.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
From the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. In the sports world, fans get their insight from their favorite radio show, Calvin and Campbell.
I listen to public radio.
There's Elijah Campbell, an easygoing sports trivia king.
That's a clean burning hell, I tell you what.
And Calvin Smith, the analytics mastermind.
Who ate all the pecan sandies?
This is their show.
I'm ready!
Calvin and Campbell.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
You heard it. This is Calvin and Campbell on ESPN. 102.5 The Game. I'm Calvin Smith, the Calvin part of the equation. To my right is Elijah Campbell, the Campbell part of the equation. We like the alliteration, Calvin and Campbell on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We have Pecan Sandies in the studio, and we are ready to go on a chilly, very cold. Yes.
Yeah, Captain Kurt's excited about those Pecan Sandies. Applause. Shout out to Courtney Moore for buying the Sandies and keeping us on brand or not keeping it at all. And I know I brought those things in. You should have seen the smile on Captain Kurt's face.
It's
that
funny.
Man is excited.
It's funny because in the intro, you know, it says Calvin Smith. And then my drop is who ate all the pecan sandies. And I don't even really like pecan sandies.
You're missing out.
But I just love the drop that much.
It's that funny. I've never even seen American Dad, but I think that's hilarious.
This is Calvin and Campbell on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Calvin Smith, Elijah Campbell here with you. And basically what we do on this show is we have some fun. If you can't tell by the show open, we like to keep it lighthearted and fun because it's a Saturday morning. It's a weekend. We want to kick off your weekend right by talking a little bit of sports, maybe being serious here and there, maybe at 9:30, Calvin and Campbell.
Oh, man.
Sports attorneys at law.
We got an interesting one. This one has been a provocative discussion across not just the sports world, but the Twitter sphere as well.
If you're in the Twitter world, you certainly saw this debate. But if you're not, it's okay. We will bring it to your radio airwaves.
We'll hash it out.
Reclining on airplanes. Yay or nay. Also, Major League Soccer to Nashville. We had some thoughts on it last week. I was very unhappy with Mayor Cooper. I even said as much this week on Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley about how this needs to get done. Well, guess what? They have approved demolition on the soccer stadium to go up at the fairgrounds. They reached the deal. I believe it was John Ingram and his team will shell out $54 million to put up the initial construction costs. I don't know the details on how that will pay cash flows in the future, so how much the city will get off of the stadium after it's built and once the team has been here for a while, where the profits go to and how that gets dispersed. But on the front end, the city is saving money, and it's getting done. Nashville SC will have a team in Nashville with their own stadium.
It's official. Yes, it is official.
Captain, yes.
We can finally breathe easy. The discussion around Nashville SC can be about the soccer. It can be about the product instead
Not
of where
politics.
They're going to do it. Exactly. Which makes our jobs easier. A whole lot easier. It makes people listening to us want to listen to us a little more because we're not boring them with the whole Mayor John Cooper stuff. But this has been really fascinating because at the end of the day, the Nashville taxpayer seems to have gotten a better deal just by hearing this because they're not footing as much of the bill.
Perhaps that's why I included what I said about the profits and the future cash flows, because you would think naturally that if Ingram says, okay, well, I'll put up the upfront costs, but you don't get to take my money afterwards if I'm paying for the entire stadium.
Exactly.
You'll get my property tax, but I'm going to take my profits and the cash flows that come from this, and they're going to be mine. So I would be assuming that's where the trade-off came in the deal, that in the long run, Ingram gets more money. But up front, Nashville does not have to take on as much debt. Because right now, the Nashville balance sheet is loaded with debt.
Yeah, and that's probably what John Cooper is wanting the entire time. I think what he had in mind was to eventually break ground on the stadium. He didn't want to see Nashville SC get pulled. He didn't want to see the MLS come in here. Oh, because that would have been the worst look possible. And John Cooper's a smart guy. So he had to have known that coming into it, that the worst case scenario is something that he doesn't want to toy with. I think what he wanted to do was get the perception of the Nashville taxpayer getting a little bit better of a deal than they would have previously had beforehand, because in the world of politics, a lot of it is more about making you look good than the actual end result of things.
Yes.
And right now, John Cooper's looking like the smartest man in the room. Now, like you said, like I said a couple seconds ago, we won't know until a couple of years of them being in that stadium how much money is being made from it, if the national taxpayer actually benefits over the whole or the grand scheme of things. But as of right now, it seems like everybody's happy, and that's got to be a good thing for both sides, Nashville SC and John Cooper at the moment.
Well, but they were playing with fire, though. I mean, we had Drake Hills of the Tennessee in here on Morning Drive earlier this week, and he basically said things will probably get done with this, but it's very, very tense right now. And, like, you are walking a very thin line. I mean, Nashville SC, they are putting out petitions, making very bold statements straight to the mayor, saying, this is supposed to be done.
Calling him out.
This better get done, and if it doesn't, it's complete and utter malpractice at your job. It was very bold, and I respect how Nashville SC took their stand in a professional but convincing and strong way.
And firm. I mean, they let you know that there was an agreement made. Everyone in Nashville knew that there was an agreement made that this was going to be done hell or high water. So I do applaud Nashville SC for getting down to that and making that happen. And for John Cooper, he probably got as close as you can get to that fire without getting burnt, because MLS was creeping in here and getting
ready to say, March 31st.
Yeah, that's only what, a month and some change away.
Yeah,
one and a half.
Yeah,
before the MLS was like, okay, Busters, you're out of here. Like, we're taking.
We're
your
actually
team.
Sending you to Kansas City. I don't know. I don't even know if Kansas City has an MLS
team.
They
do, but they can
do.
Get two. But Kansas City, Missouri has one. Yeah.
We're putting a third team in L.A. now.
We'll send you to Ontario or something. Or a third team in L.A. or Sacramento. California needs another sports team. They don't have enough.
Also, last night, college baseball kicks off.
It did.
Vanderbilt, very good team in the mid-state, if you haven't heard.
The best and very good team in the country.
And then they go and lose to Michigan in Scottsdale, Arizona, 4-3 last night. I wonder, how big is Vanderbilt baseball in Nashville? Because I think it's a surprisingly big deal. Like, Vandy baseball is bigger than Vandy football.
Oh, for sure. It's bigger than Vandy football and basketball combined, just because they've both been so bad.
So if Vanderbilt football is a guaranteed perennial bowl team, is Vanderbilt baseball still bigger than Vanderbilt football? Because to me, like, having grown up in this area and grown up with knowing the reputation of Vanderbilt baseball, every kid who plays baseball in this area has a Vanderbilt hat, a Vanderbilt baseball shirt, some Vanderbilt baseball shorts. They've been to a camp, or they're all dying to play the one high school game a week that is played at Vanderbilt Stadium. In this city, Vanderbilt baseball is a huge deal, and it's just weird to me to think that, like, I think it's as big of a deal as Vanderbilt's football and basketball programs when they kick off their season.
Yeah, especially now, just because Vanderbilt football hasn't had much to cheer about in the last couple of years. Basketball has won one SEC game in the last 2 years, and they've undergone some coaching changes. So the only sign of stability in the Vanderbilt athletics department is Tim Corbin and the baseball team.
All the way up to the top with the athletic director.
And like you said, like all the kids that are wearing Vanderbilt baseball hats, wanting to go to Vanderbilt camps, are cheering for Vanderbilt baseball. That is a result of Tim Corbin doing this on his own, doing more than a baseball or a collegiate athletics coach should, because that should be the job of the athletics department, is to do that kind of marketing. They don't do that very well at Vanderbilt. They don't do a lot of things well in the athletic department at Vanderbilt, but Tim Corbin is the exception to that notion, because that man by himself has built a program and has built a reputation for his program that has gotten it to where college baseball is relevant in a market like Nashville. What other big market is there that college baseball is a relevant point of discussion at any point? At what market are we talking college baseball in February at all? Or even mentioning that it's starting?
Almost none.
None.
Because Vanderbilt is the SEC, well, I guess, I think the Vols are the SEC team in town, but technically Vanderbilt is...
Vols football will always, yeah. UT football always. Will always have that moniker of being the team in Tennessee. It's the hottest ticket in the state at any point on the calendar. That's just how it's going to be, because that's decades of building that. Even as bad as they've been...
Since General Neyland, I mean, that's the guy who's the stadium is named after. The Vols are the SEC team in town. Mm-hmm. But Vanderbilt being technically the Nashville's SEC team, like the football and basketball program, you don't care about. But baseball, big four sport, mm-hmm. a lot of people care about. They're very good at it. Also, something I'm curious about, the XFL. Did you watch any of the only football we have on TV now?
See, my thing is, when it comes to this time of the year, I do suffer from a little bit of football fatigue. Not too much, because I still like to keep up with the draft. I love the NFL and NBA drafts. I'm a big draft guy in every
I keep up with the MLB draft, too. I love that.
And the MLB draft, once it gets around, is also incredibly intriguing to me. But the XFL got my attention on one thing, and well, two things. One, there's a guy named Elijah Campbell that plays for the DC Defenders who blocked a punt, which led to a touchdown, and almost picked off a pass. Apparently, he dropped it. Us Elijah Campbells don't have the best hands in the world, but we try very, very hard.
He repped the brand well with the blocked punt, though.
He repped the brand perfectly. The first ever XFL blocked punt was done by Elijah Campbell. That is a fact.
That's history.
That is history. That is a fact. So
Elijah Campbell,
come on this show. I have reached out. I have gotten no response. Have your people talk with my people. We're the same people. So, but the XFL to me got my attention by the rules. They have some funky rules. You can do the double pass. You can go for 3 points after a touchdown. That's intriguing. This is a great science experiment. I love science experiments in pro sports. Last week, we talked about the Houston Rockets not playing anyone over 6'6". That's intriguing to me. There is an option to score 3 points after a touchdown in football. You have my attention at least a little bit. I'm not going to care about the league embracing gambling. As good as an idea as I think it is, personally, that does not appeal to me as much as they are making it different than any other football you can watch. And most importantly, and one thing the NFL's looking at, I can promise you the NFL's looking at, is the kickoff rule.
You know what, let's carry all this XFL talk and the new rules and how that could possibly affect the NFL over to the other side. Let's get into that coming up next here on Elijah
all this Elijah Campbell talk is throwing everybody off. This is the best day for the brand.
There's only one Elijah Campbell in the studio. This is Calvin and Campbell on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Calvin and Campbell on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I'm Calvin Smith. He's Elijah Campbell. Captain Kurt on the board for us this morning. We're off and rolling here. It is cold outside, Elijah. I got in my car and took the risk. I didn't really wait on my car to defrost when I drove here, so it was a little tough, but it was all gone in about 5 minutes. It was all good.
Oh, it's a little chilly. It feels like February. It's nice. If we got a little consistency, that would be nice, too, because you know what? It's hard to prepare for anything when it's 50 degrees one day and it's 5 the next.
Well, I don't think we're going to get that stability because on Monday, 64 is the high.
Wow. You're kidding. It's funny because, you know, there's that really cheesy like dad joke where it's like, you know, if you don't like the weather in Tennessee, you just wait 5 minutes. It's like corny, but it's like also really true. So you have to throw it out whenever you can.
Before we went to the break, we talked about the XFL. And first, like, are we very interested in the XFL? Like, because I didn't watch a single snap. I saw some of the highlights on it. Like Cardell Jones playing football. You know, he's not in this to play school. He's in this to play football.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. He don't have to do school anymore.
And he's actually good for an XFL quarterback. Now, the one thing I don't really get is, like, anybody who goes out there and tries to make the point that because someone is playing well in the XFL, that is definitive proof that they should be on an NFL roster and they should be over player X, Y, or Z.
Yeah.
Like,
because there's a reason. If they were that good, they would have probably been on a roster beforehand. I'm not saying that the NFL GMs are the end-all know-all or NFL coaches.
No, certainly not.
Make the best of decisions in terms of roster personnel. But these guys are all fringe players anyway. And if someone was just, I guess, that enamored with Cardale Jones in a training camp setting in which, as a pro quarterback, is one you really need to succeed on because that is the one in which coaches get to watch you on your team with prospective teammates, then yes, you're going to be in a league like the XFL. You're going to be struggling to make an NFL roster, and that is why these guys are where they are right now. I'm not saying they can't improve, but at the same time, it's week one. Let's pump the guns, or just pump everything on saying Cardale Jones should be on an NFL roster, or Phillip Walker, or
whoever it may be.
Elijah Campbell blocking a punt.
No, he should be.
He should be on any NFL roster.
John Robinson, you're listening. Sign Elijah Campbell.
Sign Elijah Campbell right now. Either one. I'll play. He can get a mix up and I'll play.
And obviously the big thing about the XFL is the rule changes, and I love them. Like, if you're going to go out and do this, go be different. Don't try to be like too crazy or come out and try to get really, really violent with the game and go in the opposite direction with which it's going. Yeah. You mentioned it before we went to break. The kickoff is something the NFL should be looking at doing if they're not trying to do away with kickoffs altogether in general. But how the XFL structures it, if you haven't seen one of their games yet, because it's only been going on for 1 week, on the kickoff, 10 players from the receiving team line up on their own 30-yard line. The kick coverage team lines up 5 yards away on the 35-yard line, on the opposing team's 35. And then the ball is kicked off from there, and basically that eliminates the high-speed collision aspect of this.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a really, really good rule. That
love it.
Is it different to look at and just see one kicker on one side of the field kicking the ball off?
It's weird.
It's really weird to see, but you're probably not going to see any players get paralyzed on the field like we've seen in the past.
Yeah, exactly. And if you can eliminate that, then by all means, do it. If this proves to be a safer alternative than the traditional kickoff, then what is the reasoning for not doing it or not adapting or adopting this little wrinkle in the rule right here? You're still getting to do kickoffs. You still have kickoff specialists, kick return specialists. You're not eliminating the Devin Hesters or the Dante Halls from the game of football.
Yep.
They can still be there, but in a safer capacity. And if you have the ability to do that, you can solve, now I won't say solve a lot of your problems, because the NFL and football in general will always be a violent sport. It's the nature of the game.
You don't play it if you're looking to stay healthy.
Exactly. But if you can eliminate even just some of the head injuries you have in the sport, and a lot of these happen on kickoffs because, like you said, high collision impacts when you pick up all that momentum from running, 40 yards down the field, does matter in terms of tackling and the occurrence of injuries. So if you're able to eliminate that, I see, if you're Roger Goodell, no reason not to heavily consider it.
And put your injury research team on it and use the XFL as your study ground.
Yeah. It's the perfect study ground. Because even if bad stuff happens in it, you're not responsible.
Yes.
Even if this actually backfires, we somehow learn that this is actually more dangerous than the actual kickoff is, then you're not on the hook for it. You can reap all the benefits without suffering any of the consequences if it goes bad. This is the perfect situation for the NFL to look at in terms of maybe tweaking some rules here or there.
Kicking the football is maybe a dying art, because the XFL also, extra points, there will be no kicked extra points in the XFL. You have a one-point conversion, a two-point conversion, and a three-point conversion from the 10-yard line, and I think that's awesome.
That's amazing.
Just keep giving me different ways to score the football.
Yeah.
And it's always something different, like high upside from the 10-yard line. I think I personally, just without not having enough data to be able to actually go in and analyze this, I feel like the best trade-off in terms of getting 2 points would be from the 5-yard line and trying to get those 2 points, because I feel like you can get 5 yards relatively, not easily, but the trade-off between 1 and 2 and 2 and 5 yards away is pretty much worth it, where I would be going for 2 points.
You're a completed pass away, basically.
A good slant.
A good slant away, yeah.
I loved no kicked extra points, because honestly, like, kicks are boring.
They are.
Put the ball in the air. Throw it.
And really, it eliminates the boring part of kicking, but keeping the exciting part of kicking for like a last-second field goal, Those are always dramatic.
That's exactly what you want.
And you can still keep those in. Now, unfortunately, if you're an XFL kicker and people complain about you only having one job, now you really only have one job, and that is to score the 3 points whenever you need it instead of kicking, you know, the extra points, because that's basically been taken out of your job description in terms of having to do that stuff and maybe doing kickoffs, which you don't have to do as much of the tackling. You're a safety net back there because you're so many yards behind the rest of the defense. But that's one thing I really do like about the XFL is there's an elimination of the kicking without taking away the one exciting part of the kicking.
What do you like about the transparent, or what do or don't you like about the transparency from the broadcast to the field with the officials and all that? I think it's risky.
But, it's very risky.
But it
FCC
is a completely
is sweating,
different. It's a completely different element that I don't think the NFL should go there. Like, I think that is something that the XFL can have on their brand and they can go do. But for the NFL, let them do it because I don't think you need that on NFL sidelines. But the XFL needs that extra thing that gives you that kind of intrigue, because I don't think people are watching the NFL for those sideline interactions. For the reality drama, I guess you could say, of it.
Yeah, I don't need personally to hear what a kicker says after missing a kick as he's walking off the field. I don't care. What do you think he's going to say? Oh, you know, well missed the kick.
We'll get him next time, Joni.
Yeah, we'll get him next time. I'm still encouraged. I'm really encouraged. Like, no, like, whatever a kicker says after missing a kick after a play, or a player says after fumbling the football, I don't care about, unless he's dropping an F-bomb on live TV, then it's hilarious. But, like, I feel like you're going to get limited amounts of that because people know they're on TV, and they're probably the ones who are going to have to pay the FCC fine whenever they do drop F-bombs. We already had one of those last weekend.
Yep. And another,
I don't need that.
Another thing is they might have to pay that fine. They can also get traded to another state, and they only make like $50,000 a year.
Yeah.
Like, they're not making a lot of money in the XFL, yet they can be on the hook for a lot if they get traded.
Exactly. They really could, which sucks for them. But I don't really need that aspect of the broadcast. One thing I do like is official transparency, the transparency from referees, having mic'd up huddles, and you get to hear what goes on. The NFL could have really used that as PR damage control in the NFC Championship game last year, where there were a lot of questions and no good answers because we don't know exactly what was said. What can you say if you're the official and you watch that play? I didn't see anything. Well, you should have, because it was right in front of you. So whatever you get in the NFL is whatever the pool reporter comes out of that room with. Officials have no transparency. They are held to no answers after games. And pretty much all you get is, after a day or so, the NFL saying, yeah, we blew it.
Which, what great things that does
cool,
for you.
Oh, cool, sweet, awesome, appreciate it. Yeah, like, that does you no good. What would have been really nice is getting to hear them in that huddle, and that official who refused to throw that flag explain himself. And if he can't explain himself, then yeah, maybe you have grounds for taking him off of a big game. And because people know about it, you'll be pressured to. That guy wouldn't have another big game like that again until he can prove that he is better at his job to give him an NFC Championship game or a Super Bowl. We would just know that as fans better, too. And then you can eliminate all of these stupid conspiracy theories that float around after every single game.
Oh, my gosh.
Every Patriots
every
game.
Every ref hates everybody.
Yeah. And imagine we had that in college basketball so we could finally squash this Duke gets every good call thing. Like, stop, man. That's just officiating in basketball. The Patriots don't get every good call. The NFL does not want the Patriots in every Super Bowl. If we could just quell that on the NFL, or on Twitter just a little bit, or even just in the public perception, that'd be great, so we don't ever have to acknowledge this ever again.
How about this for a little bit of a middle ground? And the NFL, let's say they don't want to completely open up their official meetings or whatever. What if, like, Mike Pereira gets to hear inside of it, and then he can report on what he's hearing and tell how the officials saw things, get that extra perspective from the booth as a little bit of a middle ground, be an interpreter between what's happening and what goes out to maybe give a tiny bit more transparency. I think that's actually a very achievable middle ground the NFL could go to.
It's achievable. Like, they certainly would do it. Mike Pereira would certainly do it. I don't like that because referees will always have each other's backs.
That's true.
Always.
That's true.
So the transparency would be very, very slim. If I'm Mike Pereira and it's one of my old colleagues who just absolutely blew a call and he's listening in on their conversation, the guy's like, and like Cleet Blakeman's like, guys, I really blew it. I absolutely blew
and
that.
And they'll say it. Like, they will be honest with each other.
Yeah. Like, I blew it, pal. And then Mike Pereira's like, oh, well, you know, he saw this right here. And he explains what Cleet Blakeman couldn't explain and gives some kind of, I guess, BS report back to everybody else. Then we would never know because we're just taking Mike's word for it. Mike Pereira becomes the gatekeeper, a former official and a guy who worked with some of these other people and used to be their boss, becomes the gatekeeper of that information. So I don't know. I wouldn't like that personally, but the NFL would love that. That's perfect for the NFL because there's so much saving face that goes on, but while also giving the appearance of transparency.
It went viral this week on Twitter. Reclining on airplanes. Yay or nay? Mm. Me and Elijah, we want to get into this because it's such a tantalizing topic. Like, everybody has some kind of an opinion on this, and we think we could make a pretty good segment out of it. Calvin and Campbell, sports attorneys at law, coming up next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to Calvin and Campbell here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Calvin Smith, at Smith A. Calvin on Twitter, and Elijah Campbell, at E underscore Campbell3 on Twitter. And before we get into Calvin and Campbell, sports attorneys at law, I saw this on the NFL Network. We have the NFL Network on in studio, and in Bucky Brooks' top five, his number one quarterback was Tua Tagovailoa. His number two quarterback was Joe Burrow, the Heisman winner. I thought it was no contest that Joe Burrow was every analyst's number one quarterback. How is Tua Tagovailoa, who was hurt and they have major question marks about already, at number one over Joe Burrow, the historic quarterback that he was? And I'm someone who has my doubts about Joe Burrow, but there's no doubt he's the top quarterback in the class, no? Sorry, this is a complete digression. I'm just shocked.
Stunned. Yeah, the look on your face was priceless when seeing that. Like, that's insane to me, too, especially considering the injury Tua Tagovailoa was coming off of.
Okay, whatever, Bucky Brooks. We'll see.
Bucky
and
Brooks.
I even think Tua's good.
Getting called out.
But okay, whatever, Bucky.
Man.
Calvin and Campbell, sports attorney at law. It is that time. The topic this week.
Mm.
Elijah, I believe you'll be taking on the role of prosecution.
Okay. I can take on the role of prosecution here. So I'll rise, and we were taking on. As the prosecutor, I'm going to take on. Can I take on both people? On both the people in this video?
You go for it.
Okay. So if you haven't seen the video already, a video going around on Twitter, and I will prosecute both parties here because they have both committed two separate crimes, two separate sins of society. Where there is, it's the back of an airplane. This gentleman has the last row, or a chair in the last row.
Final seat, so he is not able to recline.
At all. He is back against the wall, literally.
Stuck in an uncomfortable position, no doubt.
While the woman in front of him reclines her seat and has the back of her seat in his lap.
It's like, okay, thanks for that.
Which is rude on her part. I'm always one that... There are people out there that will say that if you wish to recline on an airplane, you should ask the person behind you. I'm not even asking the person behind me because I know, one, it's going to be a no. Two, if it's yes, it's a disingenuous yes because no one wants a seat laying on their lap in an airplane, which is already uncomfortable.
We are all uncomfortable on this plane.
Mm-hmm.
Just suck it up.
Don't make it any worse.
If you
want to
be comfortable, pay the extra money and sit in first class.
Yeah. Exactly.
And if you can't afford it, go make more money.
Go make more money. Steal it or something. But this woman reclines her chair. So she is the first one getting prosecuted here. And then the gentleman behind her makes things worse by repeatedly punching the chair. Like he thinks that's going to help. Like, oh, sorry, sir. Oh.
And punching the chair, we mean like moving the chair.
He
like rattling her forward and backward, forward and backward.
Yeah. That also not cool. There are two acts of not cool, prosecutionable. Is that a word? It is
sure.
Now. It is now. Prosecutionable acts here that we can lay or drop the hammer on here on Calvin and Campbell. And that's what we're going to do. I think both of them are guilty of separate crimes here. and one does not excuse the other. If you're the guy and you have a seat laying on you, you do what everybody else does in that situation, and you just throw air biscuits the entire flight. You let them rip, dude. You let them rip. I would make sure that if I feel something coming on, I'm letting it fly. Like, I'm stinking up that seat, man.
The whole plane, though. We're all in a very confined space. See, here's the thing. There is no defense this week on Calvin and Campbell.
It's hard.
Because
to.
We, for this week, are one prosecution office. We are going after both of them. Because to the man who just pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed the back of her chair.
You're a child.
Grow up. Okay?
A child.
You're a grown man. That means tap her on the shoulder, and maybe you already tried this.
Yeah.
But tap her on the shoulder. Hey, excuse me. Could you move your chair up just a little bit? I don't have much room, and I can't recline back here.
Yeah.
Civility is not that difficult.
At all.
And then on her, she pulls out her camera and starts recording. That's another thing I could go on a little bit of a pet peeve about, is every time something happens in public, you don't need to pull your phone out and record it.
You don't have
to. Not everything is the biggest deal in the world. Not everything should be meant to go viral.
Yeah.
Just deal with these things between each other.
You don't have to yet. Just don't have.
Just turn around and talk to each other face to face. Because this guy, once the camera came out, well, that means she wasn't looking at him. She put the camera on him, and he wouldn't look at the camera, which means they're not going to look at each other and figure this issue out. Just talk to each other in a civil manner. Disagreeing does not mean it has to be a fight.
It's beyond petulant. At 100% beyond petulant. And my thing is that this woman has such a hard time, such a, like, this awful annoyance where she has to record this guy punching at her chair. I have a simple solution for you, ma'am.
Flight attendant?
Sit up. Don't recline. It is not that hard. Why is he punching? It's cause and effect. Why is he punching your chair like an 8-year-old? Well, because you recline and he doesn't want you to recline.
And I am very anti-reclining.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever reclined
on a original debate.
Plane.
No, because
I don't even know if I know how. I've been on like 5 planes ever.
Honestly, airplane chairs are a little complicated. I don't fly very often. I've flown maybe 3 times in my 4 times in my entire life.
Yeah.
Not very much.
Have I ever thought about reclining? No, because I know whoever's behind me is going to be uncomfortable. And I am about 6'3", 6'4".
Tall guy.
Tall guy, long legs. I'm going to be uncomfortable regardless. My back reclining a couple inches will not help me whatsoever. No. I'm going to be uncomfortable this entire flight regardless of whether we recline or not. The reclining in an airplane seat is the most overrated feature of any airplane or of any other method of travel ever. Reclining like in a car, not bad at all. If you're in the back seat of a car and you can recline the chair a little bit, I love that. Love, as long as there's no one behind you, nor would I ever do it if there was somebody behind me.
It's about just being a considerate human.
It's a courtesy thing.
Please.
At the end of the day, it is a courtesy thing.
I will be flying out to Denver in March. If I'm sitting behind you, please don't recline your chair. I have long legs, too. I'm about 6'1". I'm not as tall as you, Elijah, but I have a very short torso, long legs. Okay?
Yep.
Please just think about everybody on the plane, and we're all in this together, right? It's not going to be a very long flight. We're all just going to suck it up. Team up together, link arms, and sit firm sitting up.
A group societal effort to just coexist for one plane, for one flight.
Socialist plane rides.
Yes, a socialist plane ride.
We're all for the greater good here.
If we can just, like, for once, as a society, just live on a plane without having to record each other or lean on someone's lap or punch the back of someone's chair, that would be nice. But going back to the argument earlier, the air biscuits are coming out, and even though it will be expensive, everyone else on the plane, there's that saying that one person can ruin it for everybody. Well, if someone breaks the rule here of reclining, then that person has broken it for everybody.
And then everybody starts to get mad, and that's when you get a brawl on a plane, and they have to ground it early.
Because the whole flight has gone in total anarchy.
Because the police are coming on.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Especially if it's Spirit Airlines or something like
that. Oh, my God. Yeah. There's no telling. I mean, airlines have enough going on for them. They always seem to be in the news. Someone's ripping an airline on Twitter all the time anyway.
And then,
all the time.
Well, obviously,
the
what doesn't make it any better is the everything going on with the Boeing 737 Maxes that can't even fly.
Yeah. Oh, man. They've got enough problems on their hands.
The whole flight industry is in a complete state of flux right now with the reclining debate, Boeing not even being able to get planes off the ground for their 737 Maxes. Oof.
Yeah. Oh, and so, and if you have all those problems, though, like making it worse by reclining and then by punching someone who is reclining on you is only making it worse.
Adults. These in the United States of America.
Adults. And we are seeing a video of it on Twitter. None of this person like want to post it and say, man, this my experience is so bad because I'm reclining on this guy and he's punching my chair. I'm going to record it and then put it on social media for everyone to see. Like, you have a bunch of people on your side. Outside of your friends and family, no one is going to side with you, ma'am. No one is.
Amen.
No one is.
Amen. And that is Calvin and Campbell, sports attorney at law. And coming up on the other side, the Titans might be increasing their ticket prices for 2020. Is this a risky move? Or is it them betting on them being good again? Or just being business savvy? We'll get to that on the other side. This is Calvin and Campbell, and streaming all around the world on the Game Nashville app on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're back on Calvin and Campbell, ESPN 102.5 The Game. And the Tennessee Titans, it's being reported, according to Paul Kaharsky of PaulKaharsky.com, that the Titans will increase their lower bowl tickets by 10% a year after the team raised them 15%. Now, Elijah, given that after last year they raised them even more, this year they're raising them again, I think it's only natural for the prices of things to generally increase in entertainment. And when you're putting out an entertaining product, certainly it's worth it. But if the Titans don't match the expectations, how worrisome does that become to you? Because personally, I'm not one to believe that the Titans will exceed or maybe even meet the expectations that will be set in front of them at the beginning of next season.
Yeah, I think we're both of the thought that the Titans are due to regress a little bit based on how they ended the season last year and based on how they won some of the playoff games they ended up winning. It is a little concerning to me because Nashville, as good of a, I like to think of it as a good sports town, a solid sports town. But honestly, like, you go to these games, there are a lot of fans of other teams coming in here and filling your seats. The Chiefs being a prime example. There was a lot of red at Nissan Stadium whenever the Chiefs came to town. A whole lot of red. There was a whole lot of black and gold whenever the Saints came to town. A whole lot of black and gold. With the exception of maybe like the Chargers, I was at the Chargers game this year. Not a lot of Chargers apparel, but also the Chargers don't have fans. And I'm not convinced they actually do have fans because they don't even show up at their own home stadium.
They don't
stadium.
Even have a home stadium.
Yeah, I'm putting air quotes. I know it's radio, so you can't see me, but I'm doing a little air quotes thing because I don't know if do we call that a stadium. No, probably not. They're playing in what Nashville SC is going to be playing in. But so the Chargers don't have fans, so that doesn't count. So the biggest thing to me is you might be pricing out some of your truer fans if you keep increasing ticket prices like that. Naturally, like you said, these things are going to increase a little bit. That's just how the entertainment industry works. But you got to be careful if you're the Titans, because all it's going to take is having Ryan Tannehill not play as well. The team start off maybe 5-5, and then apathy starts kicking in. And when apathy kicks in, no one's going to want to pay more for a ticket they don't care about. This year, they're playing, what, the NFC North?
Yes.
So, coming into town, you'll have, what, the Bears and Lions, I want to say. I think they got the Packers on the road and the Vikings on the road.
We can double-check this.
We'll double-check this. But the Vikings have a pretty large fan base. The Packers have a ginormous fan base. The Lions don't have fans, so you might be lucked out if you do play the Lions at home. You just might not have many people in the seats.
Yeah, so it's the Bears at home, the Lions at home.
Bears?
You were correct. The Buffalo Bills coming back to town, of course.
Bills, large fan
Steelers.
Base. Steelers, large fan base.
Browns.
So what might be happening is the effect would be not of the amount of people coming into the stadium itself, but maybe the amount of other fans. It's already a problem. But pricing out true fans here in Nashville might not be the best idea on the plane, especially if the product is nowhere near as good as it was last season.
I don't think I view it as a pricing out issue, because I think people will pay. The product just has to meet the expectations in front of them.
We're like, not sure that happens.
They will somehow find people to get in the stadium if they're as good as they were at the end of last year. But if they're not, that's where the big risk comes in. That's where it all.
Because
who 3 years ago, who was paying to go to those games? Because before this, the Titans weren't raising ticket prices. They couldn't afford to. If they were raising ticket prices, nobody would be in the stadium.
When Zach Mettenberger's your quarterback, you can't afford to raise You can't afford to raise ticket prices.
Not at all. But now that you're good, the expectation's up there. But I don't think it's lost on people at all that this team, especially pre-John Robinson, was not a fun product at all.
You almost couldn't pay people to go to those games.
The TV wasn't doing well. The games weren't doing well.
But now it's turned around a little bit, so the excitement's there. However, all it takes is a bad start for this to backfire completely.
Speaking of ticket sales, Nashville SC coming to Nashville. They've sold about Nashville SC, MLS, I should say, coming to Nashville. They've sold about 40,000 tickets, I think, in Nissan Stadium in that lower bowl.
It's impressive.
How many people do you think will go to these Nashville SC games? Because I kind of view it like a slight step up from the Nashville Sounds. Like a slight step up from AAA baseball, even though Major League Soccer on the worldwide scale is below AAA baseball.
Oh, 100%.
In terms of how, like, your proximity to the premier level.
Yeah, the product compared to the premier level. I think it reaches a different demographic. Obviously, soccer is a different demographic. People that go to soccer games aren't necessarily shilling out money to go to Nashville Sounds games. It's two different demographics.
I think there could be a lot of overlap there, though.
There could be.
I think a lot of the suburban population would go to both of them.
Oh, for sure. I mean, and here's the thing about soccer, too, is A, in America, this is the highest level, even though compared to like the Premier League or Bundesliga or League One, La Liga, name any European league, the product won't be as good or anywhere near as good. But this in this country, on this hemisphere, this might be the best product that you have in the sport. Soccer isn't incredibly popular in the United States, but is popular in terms of almost everyone plays it growing up. I played it growing up.
I played it when I was 4 and 5.
You played it when you were 4 or 5. There's still a large amount of people who obviously care about soccer and are willing to go pay money to go to these games. And if they're selling out stadiums in Atlanta because of it, especially the big, it's not just any stadium in Atlanta. It's Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's very, very, very big. You can get that same kind here because soccer as a whole, like in a country with immigrants, whereas the world sport are going to, you're going to have that demographic coming into these games, as well as maybe a natural, like I guess, suburban populations.
I think that's why I create the comparison. I think because
it's like a Venn diagram, we have a little bit of overlap.
There's tons of overlap from a lot of different areas. And is one area going to dominate going to Nashville SC games?
No,
I don't think so. Because I think if you're an immigrant from elsewhere in the world, you're not really going to care about the MLS, but you like soccer. If you're from the suburbs, it's a bit of a drive-in. But hey, you know, your 12-year-old son and daughter both play soccer. So you go to the game every once in a while. And that's exactly what the Nashville Sounds do, right? You have baseball teams. Oh, your kids play baseball and softball, so we'll go to a game. Oh, you're a little bit of a baseball fan. Maybe you're a Braves fan, but you want to see something close to Major League Baseball. You go in, whatever.
Yeah.
So I think from that aspect, you can have success with this, but it's not going to be something that even reaches an NHL type level, do you think?
I think it can eventually.
Eventually.
And you want to know
how
why?
Long is eventually for you?
And comparing it to the Sounds too is the Sounds have to compete with Major League Baseball.
Oh,
some people would rather take that drive, bite the bullet, drive the 3.5-4 hours, whatever, to Atlanta
or Cincinnati, or St. Louis,
or even St. Louis, because they're all in the same proximity, same drive, either way, just different direction to watch the Reds or the Braves or the Cardinals,
to watch Ronald Acuna, Joey Votto, Paul Goldschmidt.
Mm-hmm. Because Major League Baseball is the pinnacle of baseball in the United States, whereas Major League Soccer is also the pinnacle of soccer in the United States. Nashville will be drawing from other areas. If you don't want to go to Atlanta, Atlanta United is not your favorite team and you don't want to go watch them play, you can go to Nashville. Or if you're a soccer fan here and you've been going to Atlanta.
Very casual soccer fan who maybe likes European soccer.
Exactly. This is the best place to watch, or the best league to watch the best level of soccer in the United States. And one thing the MLS does really well is even people that are fans of other leagues, they're taking aging superstars and attracting them to the MLS. One of the best things that's happened to the MLS was the LA Galaxy signing Zlatan Ibrahimovic for a couple of years, because every single stadium he went to was their highest attended game the entire season. He brought a ton of intrigue. Now, Ibrahimovic isn't there anymore, but they signed Chicharito, a Mexican soccer legend, was on the Mexican national team.
What a great name, by the way, Chicharito.
That's one of the greatest soccer nicknames of all time, or even sports nicknames. Going by Chicharito, incredible. I love it. And he just signed with the LA Galaxy. The LA Galaxy gets a lot of stuff. They had David Beckham, too. They're really good at signing the whole
aging superstar. Who wouldn't
want to
live in LA for a little bit?
Exactly. They're really good at the whole signing aging superstars thing. That also has it going for the MLS, too, is they're able to attract some of these aging stars where people in the United States can see them before they finally hang them up or retire. Or if you're like Zlatan Ibrahimovic, go back to a Milan in Italy and go continue your professional career. It was a little bit of a stop for him. That also is going to bring in a lot of people, too. And I think it might be a little bit of an easier adjustment for Nashville SC than the Predators just because of the familiarity of the sport as well.
Since we mentioned it just a second ago, baseball, Major League Baseball in Nashville. Major League Soccer is in town. The Predators are firmly established. The Titans are in the NFL. You don't beat the NFL.
Oh, no. NFL's king.
The Grizzlies are out west. The NBA, Nashville, not even on each other's radar, probably. Major League Baseball, though, in Nashville. With all these professional sports teams here now, the size, the growth of the city, real quick before we have to go to break, can the city take this on? Because I think there's a possibility. It just has to be done a little bit differently.
It has to be done a little bit differently. And it's going to be a fight for funds. Because of what we have just seen here with Nashville SC, if there is anything that we have learned from the stadium saga for Nashville SC, it will be fighting tooth and nail to be able to get this in Nashville if that is the goal, to get an MLB team here in Nashville.
What's working for Major League Baseball in Nashville? They're probably about 8 years away, though, from something still moving on this front, securing investors, probably having to do something similar to what John Ingram did. But I'm going to be honest, I would love to have Major League Baseball in this
city.
That
would be pretty neat.
I would.
That would be really neat.
All right, coming up on the other side, Say Something, me and Elijah Campbell, we bring the hot, the fiery takes on a Saturday morning. Are they hot? Are they fiery? Maybe. Maybe not. We'll get to that on the other side. This is Calvin and Campbell on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.